God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for this opportunity we have today to gather together in this space and to set aside everything else we have going on in life and just listen for your voice. I pray that you would help that to happen, that we would pull down the barriers and the distractions, that you would set aside me and that you would just shine through your truth, your word would shine through. That's what we need. We don't need more of us. We need more of you. So I pray that no matter what life has looked like for us coming into this space, no matter how crazy or chaotic, that we would hear help and peace in your word. We thank you for all that you're going to do and all you have been doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome 9:30, 9 o'clock. It's 9:30, 9 o'clock Augsburg and 9 o'clock Tremont. You act surprised that I got the time wrong. I'm not surprised, unfortunately. It's so good to have you guys joining us up in Tremont and here in Augsburg. We got this next message in this series, How Not to Ruin Everything. And this is about relationships. This whole series has been about relationships. Have you enjoyed it so far? Like, has it been challenging, good, encouraging? You're still here. So it started off rough when we went like, hey, the problem isn't everybody else. The problem is probably partly at least us. And we've gone from there just digging into stuff that I hope has been a help for you. And today we're doing something just a little bit strange for me because, you know, usually we do like a chunk of the passage in the Bible to talk about it. Sometimes, occasionally, we'll like look into one verse. Today, we're looking into like part three of one verse. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you want to flip there a while or pull your iPhone out or whatever and pull that up, that's cool. You'll be able to follow along for a very brief, a very brief verse. You know people that do you live with people? I shouldn't start like that. that went like way deep, way fast. That maybe forget a lot of stuff. I don't know, forget what service time is, even though they have to preach, maybe for example. Do you live with people that forget a lot? Like constantly forgetting where they put their jacket, their keys, their wallet, and you're constantly having to follow them around and keep tabs on where they put stuff and who they talk to and help them remember names. Do you know people like that? Not good. I'm a lot like that, and it causes a lot of stress for the people around me. Maybe you have somebody in your life that you constantly realize forgets a lot of stuff that they should remember. And maybe you have somebody in your life that remembers stuff that you wish they would forget. My kids have a phenomenal long-term memory, which is incredible to me because I have a really good short-term memory and a horrific long-term memory. But for some reason, my kids didn't get that gene, and that has been a thorn in my side my entire life, because my kids, they remember like everything. I will catch myself in an embarrassing moment, and mid-embarrassing moment, the thought that runs through my mind is not like, oh, this is really embarrassing. The thought that runs through my mind is, oh crap, my kids are going to remember this forever. Neither one of those things are good. Forgetting all the things or remembering stuff, every little thing, they're not good for forward progress in life or relationships. And here's what's even trickier about this. The closer you are to someone, the more you remember, the more receipts you have on what they did. They did that, or they didn't do this. What they struggle with, you know all of their struggles and all of their weaknesses. You remember all of that stuff, all the ways they failed. You remember when they went somewhere they weren't supposed to go, when they didn't prioritize you 15 years ago. You remember when they annoyed, all the different ways they annoy you, how they eat their cereal. And you also remember how they've hurt you. Because they're close to you. because you've lived it alongside them, because you have the receipts for all of these things. And can I just say, like, forgetting is bad, but also remembering and reminding over and over again is not good either. There's a verse that talks about this. There's a lot of them, believe it or not, and we won't have time for all of them. But the one that we're kind of like centering in on is found in the love chapter. It's read at a whole bunch of weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I use it at funerals. Hopefully you don't know that, because it's a passage that's full of truth. And it talks a lot about love, and it's great. It's one of these passages that's great when you're talking about spending the rest of your life and covenanting with somebody in marriage. And it's great when you're talking about the end of someone's faithful life and how they loved others and all of those things. And what we're going to talk about today is one little snippet of one little verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Oh, you probably have heard this, unless you've slept through every wedding in your life, which would not surprise me for some of you. No, just kidding. It says at the end of this, it's talking about love. It starts like a couple verses up, like love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. You could preach a sermon on every one of these single things. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And then here's this part for today. And I want to talk about the words in this part. It keeps no record of wrongs. That's tough when you got a lot of receipts and you're trying to win an argument. The first word that I like circled in my Bible on this is no. That's an important word, because it's like, it's an absolute word. It's a word whose sum is zero. And what's interesting about this passage is this isn't talking about annoyances. It's not talking about misunderstandings or miscommunications. And while it's talking about something much deeper than that. So by default, all of those things are also included in this. But it says no, like sum zero. There's no negotiating with zero. You can't go, huh, what's the cost of that? Zero. Well, I think it should be $5. No, it was like zero from the start. No negotiating, no trying to weasel your way out of it. Zero times zero is zero. Like none. There's little space, no space in this passage as Paul talks about what love looks like, what true love looks like in our relationships. There's no. It's like, do you have kids? Have you ever had kids? And you're like, you catch yourself saying things like, I said no. What are you talking about? Why are you coming at this from a different angle? No means no. You don't get to eat Skittles for breakfast. There's no negotiating that. There's no, well, maybe if you eat a carrot too. Like, no. Stop talking to me about this. And that is the kind of absolute start that is put into this, like, idea and this verse about keeping receipts on people that you love and care about. Keeping receipts on anybody. Taking old stuff and bringing it up into new fights and arguments. Reminding them of the mistake they made 10 years ago. It's like he starts this with like, no. No. It's off limits. And if we're going to talk about this, and if you are going to apply what we talk about to your life and relationships, which I can't force you to do, if you decide that there is truth in this passage as it applies to your marriage, to your relationship with your parents or kids, then you have to intentionally agree at this zero-sum thought. There is no bringing up the junk that has been gone over and dealt with 10 years ago, 5 years ago, today. No. No record is the second word in that. Record is underlined in my Bible. And what's interesting about this word is it's an accounting word. It's a word about keeping a ledger or like bookkeeping. It's this Greek word. I'm going to butcher the... You ever see a word and you're like, I'm not going to say that right? And then I remind myself, there's like one of you in here that knows Greek. And he preached last week and he's probably wandering the halls trying to figure out where he's supposed to be. And I love him to death. He's my favorite. But like, I don't know why I'm worried about mispronouncing this word. And he's a loving and gracious guy. Logizomai. I think that's pretty close. Just going to pause and celebrate and then not say it again. Logizomai. This Greek word, it's this accounting phrase, and it means to count, calculate, keep a ledger. And what's interesting about this word is this accounting word, it's not like you just keep a record. This accounting word is you keep a record and you assign debt or credit to it. So it's not just like you got your spreadsheet and you're listing stuff out. It's that you got your spreadsheet and you're listing stuff out, and next to each thing in the other column of the spreadsheet, I know they have multiple columns, in like the next column, I'm not a spreadsheet guy, right? Like you would assign credit or debt to each one of those like things that you're listing. That's this kind of like record that you're keeping. It's like you're living your life going, he did that good. He did that bad. He did that worse than bad. You know, like she said this. She said it this way. Bad, bad, bad. Like she did that. That was okay. And what's interesting is the more you stack up bad, the less good you put into this account ledger. The good stuff becomes like, oh, okay, well, he should after all this bad stuff. At least, like, that's par for the course. It's word here, it's an accounting word. It's about the balance that you feel is owed to you. That's important. And you need to hang on to that word until the end of this message. He says, no keeping accounts and assigning debt or credit. That's not how we do relationships if they are loving relationships. I don't get to say to you, you don't sit up front, so I'm going to preach worse to the 9 o'clock service. And I'll preach better to the 10:30 service, because they sit up front. Like there's no doing that. There's no going to the person that you came with and are sitting next to. Well, you made the garbage coffee today. Like that's bad. I'm not going to talk to you until after service, you know. Or you parked like an idiot in the church parking lot, and it's embarrassing. I'm never letting you drive again. We don't get to do stuff. We also don't get to do. You said that really hurtful thing. 10 years ago, you went on that trip, and you shouldn't have. Because the next word in this is wrongs. Not just misunderstandings, not miscommunication, but like wrongs, and wrongs includes all of it. Wrongs includes real wrongs and perceived wrongs. These words mean it hurt you. The stuff he's talking about in this passage, the stuff we're talking about this morning, like I say this with heaviness in my heart, and like I'm trying to have fun, and it's like I like to have fun up here, but like there's a heaviness to this message too, because this isn't just talking about him chewing his cereal too loudly. This isn't talking about that miscommunication over who was picking up the kids. This is talking about wrongs. Perceived and real. Wrongs you have felt. Wrongs that really hurt. Wrongs that had you falling to sleep with tears wetting your pillow. Love keeps no record of wrongs. And sometimes those wrongs are perceived. We think someone did something really unloving and that was not their intention. And it was maybe a mistake in how we read the situation. Sometimes those wrongs are not meant and they are just perceived wrongs. And sometimes those wrongs are actually real wrongs. And what this passage says is, as much as those stung, you can't hold on to them forever. Or maybe right now your mind is trickling back to like that thing they said. The way that parent treated you. That mistake that they made that really hurt. You can't hold on to it forever. This is not saying nothing bad happened, just forget it. That's not what this is saying. This is saying love refuses to operate transactionally, defensively, and with an active account held against another person. When you live holding that account, love starts to die. Resentment starts to grow. A wedge that started splits. There's lots of biblical examples of this. The first one I think of is the older son found in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal comes back home. The older son is there. The father goes out to confront him because he's not coming in to celebrate that his brother came home, and he's dishonoring his father by making his father come out. And there's a whole bunch of sermons on that we did not that long ago. You can go look them up online. But do you remember what the older brother says? All this time, I've been here doing all this stuff for you. And he took it all and wasted it on prostitutes and wild living, threw it all away, and now he comes back and you throw a party for him? Do you remember that? He's keeping an account. I did this and I did that and I did this and they did this and they did that and they did that and I was here and they weren't here and I stood in the gap and they weren't there and I was taking care of the kids and taking care of the house and taking care of this and he was off doing this and doing that and doing this and I was working hard and bringing in the paycheck and she was blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and like... Resentment and bitterness is what you hear in the voice of the oldest brother. And resentment and bitterness is what we allow into our relationships when we keep an active account on the people around us. There's Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 and that 42, that like section of passages. Jesus comes to their home and Mary is sitting at his feet listening to him talk and teach, and Martha is doing good stuff. She's running around. She's taking care of the house and making sure the food is cooked and like making sure it was dusted. So Jesus isn't like sneezing the whole time or something. I don't know. Like she's doing all the important stuff that you want to do when you're having somebody important to you come to hang out. And eventually she gets sick of being the one doing everything while her sister Mary is just chilling out, hanging out in the living room with Jesus. And she goes, Jesus, would you tell her like to get busy? Don't you see all the stuff I'm doing and the stuff she's not doing? Like I need some help here. She's holding this active account with her little list of stuff. And Jesus says her name twice, like, Martha, Martha, man, you're missing it. You're doing good stuff. She chose something better. Like it leaks out, the list keeping. You try to internalize it, keep it to yourself, it comes up. You're having that fight and all of a sudden, without even trying to, because you have this active account held in your heart, you are browbeating the person instead of discussing the thing that you need to work through together to come to some place of mutual understanding and forward progression so you can move forward together in a deeper relationship, which is how fights and arguments should end. It's about who wins. It's a competition. And they can't win. You got to win. And so now you're bringing up stuff that happened 20-some years ago, which should be resolved, forgiven. It leaks out. Then you have the story of Leah and Rachel in Genesis 29 through 30. No way we have time to go through those chapters. It's a lifetime of comparison, competition, and keeping score between these two women. And it brings us to this like final point. Keeping a record of wrongs poisons your relationship. And if you are poisoning your relationship, how can you ever find peace? How can you ever find healing? How can you ever find intimacy again? How can you ever move forward in a new way to new things? I know this is hard because they were real wrongs. We will have a whole message on forgiveness at the end of the series, and it's a heavy one, and it's a deep one, and it's going to mess with me, and maybe I'll give it to somebody else to preach. Or maybe not. Listen, this is what keeping an active account against somebody looks like. Holding the receipts. It means I've got to do this fast, so if you're a note taker, get your pen out and set it to speed writing. It means bringing up old stuff into new fights and arguments. It means saving ammo. You ever do that? Like, oh, I'm gonna remember this one. Yeah. Next time she brings up how loudly I chew. This one's going to be my zinger. It looks like measuring everything. How good, how bad, how well they did, how poorly they did. Well, they got most of it, but they missed some of it. They went to the store, but they got the wrong applesauce. It means measuring everything. It means weaponizing your memory. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Proverbs 19:11 says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Here's some help. Deal with things early. Deal with them early. Don't leave them unresolved. And as much as you can, do everything you can to live at peace with everyone. Sometimes that means not going to bed angry. It means working hard and having uncomfortable conversations to resolve this thing now so that you don't keep bringing it up 5 years from now. Deal with things early. Stop collecting evidence. When you're in an argument and it starts to happen, reset instead of replay the past. Use language like, hold on a minute. Can we refocus onto what we're trying to solve together here right now? Or use language like, all right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. We dealt with that before. And I acknowledge that maybe not perfectly, but we both tried to move forward from that. Can we refocus on what this issue is that we're discussing right now and what's at the heart of it? And let's stay in the now instead of in the past and figure out a way that we can move forward together towards a better future. Use language like that. Reset instead of replay. And then lastly, and maybe most importantly, give grace for growth. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. Are you? Are you? Are they? Probably not. Even though you want to bring that thing up and use today as proof that they didn't change. God's doing something in my life. He's doing something in your life. He's doing something in their life. We don't always understand it. We don't always see the fruit of it, but they're probably not the same person they were even a year ago. The worship team's going to come out, and I want to end with this. Logizomai. Logizomai, something like that. Don't tell Don. This is a Greek word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13 to talk about our relationships with each other. Logizomai. It's a word of accounting, a ledger where you keep track and you assign credit or debt. What's so interesting about this Greek word is that it's used elsewhere in the New Testament. It's used in places to talk about the debt of sin. It's used to talk about how our sin is counted. It's used to talk about the debt that we accrue or earn because of our sin. And check this out. It is also used, maybe most importantly, to talk about righteousness credited to you because of Christ and what he did on the cross, paying for our sins, wiping away our debt. How wild is that? The same language, same Greek word, used to show us how to love each other, is used most of the time to talk about how our sin created a debt and how God stepped into our debt, paid the price for it, and accredited us as righteous before God because of his saving work on the cross. Is that crazy wild? That's so good. And here is the good news. We are supposed to take the same grace and the same love that we have experienced through Christ, and that same grace and same love that we have experienced through Christ and his ledger with us should show up if we are following Jesus. in our relationships with each other. Maybe right now it's time to choose to show the grace that you have experienced through Jesus to the people you want to have the biggest account against. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. But Jesus knows how much sin hurts. What if you could start showing that grace and love, the grace and love of Christ in your relationships? And what if it starts by just going, I'm not going to keep an account, a spreadsheet, a list of all the things that you have done wrong in the past. I just want to figure out a way to move forward better with you. God, we thank you so much for your truth and your love and how it affects our hearts. And listen, this thing is not about going to church. This thing is about being more like Jesus. That's what this following you is about. It's about apprenticing you. It's about spending time with you and learning from you and being like you. And would you help us do that in our relationships? That's hard. And some of us carry hurts that run real deep and real big. And it was so tempting to talk about forgiveness today, but we got that coming up. And I just pray that you would be the God of comfort for my friends here, that you would give them courage, that you would help them to do the hard thing of looking at their lives and how they've been living in relationships, and that if they say they love someone, that they would stop keeping a record of wrongs. That they would trust that you are just, that you hold the accounts, that you will right every wrong. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.